Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. O God, thank you for the load of grace, love, acceptance, and forgiveness that you dump upon us as your people. Help us to be more aware of your presence in all the experiences of our lives, and give thanks as we are able. Amen. Now, this sermon is not going to be about pilgrims and Native Americans or all the blessings or successes, you know, that we can list and say, oh, this and this and this and this and that, but rather an attempt to explain what has made me a thankful person of hope instead of a cynical person of despair. I thought about this, what should I do today? And I thought, well, I could put together a very nice sermon, but I would be straining it through my own personal experiences, which you wouldn't know about, so why don't I just share with you why I'm a thankful person? And it hence becomes a very personal thing with a lot of references to events and experiences of mistakes and failures, and both intended and unintended consequences, and also stories of successes, all of which I'm thankful for. The whole harvest theme of Thanksgiving, we just sang that hymn, for me has to do with harvests of the sheaves of life, not sheaves of grain. I know about that, though. When as a kid, I remember riding the binder. We didn't have a combine, and so my farming experience reaches back into the 19th century. But let's, you know, it does, you know. You know, but let's go on and you know, recount the things that I give thanks for. And hopefully my sharing of some of those stories of my life might open doors and windows and lights for you to see things which maybe you haven't been thankful for in your lives that might be helpful as well. First place I start in giving thanks is that nice greeting which comes out of St. Paul. And so many sermons start with, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's usually the signal, oh, it's done, now time to go to sleep because he's going to start preaching. But in fact, what that is saying is the Lord God Almighty has done such wonderful things for you and me. And we need to be reminded of them because they drop on us constantly, and so much of the time we're not even aware of what it is. Maybe if we turn around, take the time to look later, we'll see it. But that's where I start, being thankful to God for what has been given to me graciously as a person. Now, I'm also thankful that I'm not a self-made man. I had a mother, as does every other person in here, male or female, and a father. And so part of me is from that DNA, as well as family history, for the pluses and, believe me, the minuses that have been involved in that through the centuries. Really, our family on both sides came here in the 1770s or 1780s through the port of Philadelphia. And, you know, so I know something of those experiences. You know, but as I think of family, yes, I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful as experiences of growing up in that family. And yes, our house burnt down when I was 9. So at 9 years old, I learned that not all things are permanent. And that's an important lesson to know. Things aren't permanent. God is. God's love is. And I'm thankful for knowing that and learning that and being able to go back and think about it and realize, yeah, I can run through every room in that house and tell you what was in each room. But those were just things. Those were just things. Oh, and I remember the experience of my parents separating, and it was an awful time. It was a year after the house burnt down, which made me 10. And I learned that not all things work out. Not everything works out the way you want it, the way hopefully it would. So I'm thankful for that wisdom and insight. I had the experience at 10, and I've had to think about that as time has gone on and remember it. You probably wouldn't believe it as I'm standing here preaching. This is a public speech. I remember my first public speech. In fifth grade, I went to a two-room country school, and so grades 5 through 8 were upstairs. Those were the big kids were, and the little kids, 1 through 4, were downstairs. And so one of the first things we did when I was in fifth grade, going up to the upstairs with all the big kids, the teacher had us give a little talk about what we'd done over the summer, which was really very easy for me. My brother, who was in eighth grade, gave this little speech, so all I had to do was stand up and give the same speech. And I got up there, and I tried to open my mouth, and I started crying. And the teacher said, "It's okay, Jeffrey. You can go back to your seat. We can try again later." That's an experience of grace. What would have happened to my life had the opposite taken place? Judgment, condemnation, being laughed at. Would I become the public speaker that I've become? I'm very thankful for that teacher. She was a heck of a disciplinarian, but boy, she knew something about grace and shared it with me that day. Old time went on. I kind of grew up. I had a wonderful girlfriend in high school, 4 years, etc. Ended in rejection. Those things hurt. Very nice person. But I learned a whole lot in that process of that. You know, it just so happened she and her mother and family were Christian Scientists, and I didn't have a clue what healing as part of the ministry of the church was about. And so I read everything that Mary Baker, Patterson, Glover, Eddy ever wrote, which is a whole involved, different way of thinking, philosophical theology. And so I can thank that woman for introducing me to philosophy. I became a philosophy major, by the way. And the whole meaning of healing is part of the Christian faith. So I'm thankful. Ended in rejection, but I'm thankful. It's kind of strange. Oh, I had a college sweetheart too. That ended in rejection also. I can smile about that now. At the time, I didn't. But also, I learned along the way through a number of these experiences, you do not quote that Bible verse, "All things work together for good for those who love the Lord," in the midst of despair. That's not the Bible verse to quote at that point. Thank God nobody quoted that one to me at those times. But what did I learn through that experience and relationship? I learned more about Judaism and being Jewish. And the Holocaust, her parents got out of Germany, I think in 37. So a whole dimension of human experience opened to me. Ultimately, I learned theologically the great sermon of Paul Tillich, "You are accepted." And through these rejections, learned the experience that ultimately, only God gives us that final acceptance. And that's what really counts, and that's what gives us the core of our being. And we can say that in various ways. One of the ways I've learned to say that is I'm baptized. God even recognized and accepted me. Okay. But those things came along and helped me learn to make wiser choices. And one of the wisest choices is sitting right back there. And some little years later, I'm not supposed to say those numbers because that will give away age, etc. But anyhow, and thanks to Daddy, I've become a much stronger and better person and leader as well. know, and that's good. And I can say, thank you, God. You know, were all those experiences great and wonderful? No, they weren't. Along the way, people said, you look like a leader. Will you lead the Luther League? Will you, you know, lead the Lutheran Student Association, you know, etc.? No, I was not elected president of the Lutheran Student Association of America. I came in second in that election. It was a good thing. The other guy was a better leader than I was. And I learned that. But through those connections, became a leader in the ecumenical movement as well, National Student Christian Federation, etc. Along the way, I've learned there's a purpose to my life. And there's a purpose. You know, these things kind of, you know, grow on you. You know, by the way, I never went to Sunday school, so I didn't have a whole lot of Bible verses in my head. I first went to Sunday school when I was teaching Sunday school. They grabbed me one day and said, we need somebody to teach the fourth grade vacation Bible school class. I didn't know anything about vacation Bible school. We worked during the summer at home on the farm. You know, but they talked me into it. And then I found out why. There were 9 little boys and 1 bratty little girl to go with them in that class. And I learned a little bit about teaching and loving children who sometimes aren't lovable. But this purpose came along. And arche in hologos, kai hologos proston theon, kai theos ein logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now that word logos, we translate as word, okay? But if you know Greek philosophy, you know that the word logos, has ancillary meanings as well. And 2 of which stand out for me as I read that text. And that is the word logos, meaning. The word logos, meaning purpose. Listen to it translated that way. In the beginning was the meaning, and the meaning was with God, and the meaning was God, and the meaning became flesh and dwelt among us. Or the purpose was God, and the purpose of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That purpose of sharing that meaning. The world has meaning. God says so. In the midst of all the other chaotic things that happen, God says it has meaning and purpose. I'm thankful for that insight. Oh, yes, I need to keep going here. There are too many pages here. But anyway, yes, I'm thankful for the experience of having been shot. We as human beings have an awareness that we could be injured and that someday we will die. And that's not the most comfortable feeling in the whole world. And given where I was serving my first church, there was some violence around the neighborhood, etc. You know, the fear of death is very real. Our theology in Easter tells us, you know, there's hope. You know, there's a cross. It's an empty cross. There's a resurrection. You know, fine, sure. You're going to take the risk of walking out in the street where you know somebody's packing? Well, I did. And, you know, something of the meaning of the explosion of a bullet and the impact on my body. Now, granted, I'm very thankful that I'm alive. It was a superficial wound. You know, Dottie, in her great wisdom and insight, said, well, if you wouldn't have been so fat, it would have missed you completely. We can have a sense of humor about these things after the fact and reflect on them. But that experience helped me face fear of death. And in a way freed me from a whole lot of that fear of death. Following that, I was a bit more cautious. But it didn't stop the ministry to which I was called on the south side of Chicago. And I'm thankful for that, that there's a ministry of hope. You know, perfect love casts out fear. I'm very aware of that because I know what that fear is. I'm thankful. The perfect love does cast out. Oh, I learned to love my enemies, too. I'm thankful for that. You know, have you ever stopped thinking about loving your enemies? I mean, really loving them. Well, not just saying, oh yes, I love my enemies, and going back to the friendly confines of family and neighborhood where everybody knows you and thinks that everything is fine and wonderful. Love your enemies. I learned how to love them, because your enemies will tell you all about your weaknesses, your failures, the unintended meanings of your actions and words, as well as your intended meanings, which they disagree with, and your decisions, and they will teach you. I will teach you, and I learned from some pretty harsh lessons, and some cases, some pretty public ways, with the press around and that sort of stuff. And I'm thankful that I became a better person because of my enemies. And I grow. Oh, and then all those cultural, intercultural relationships. Going to India, which is the largest democracy in the world, by the way. It's not the United States. India is the largest democracy in the world. And to visit Germany, with a trip that we took here at St. John's, particularly the experience of going to the Nazi parade ground in Nuremberg, and know some of the meaning of that, as well as the Holocaust Museum and Memorial in Berlin. Oh, and yes, I thank God for the cultural experience of coming to know African-American friends and what some of their experiences mean to their lives. I've been privileged to have some of these people as my teachers, members of my congregation, the first church that I served. And I'm still learning today. So that whole learning process that I'm thankful for went from the south side of Chicago to right in the middle of the heart of Salisbury, where we continue to learn and need to learn together. And yes, I stand before you as a white male, and I've come to know that that means having white privilege. That's another whole discussion that we have to talk about. But I'm thankful that I know something that's a discussion we need to have. And I thank my teachers for that. I've had the privilege, this stuff in the news lately is so disturbing, but I've had the privilege as a pastor of listening to the stories of abused women. I know how painful and life-changing those experiences are. I'm thankful for that, to have been able to develop a sense of empathy for people who have experiences way different than my own that I literally cannot experience. I cannot be a black man. I cannot be a woman, black or white. I'm also thankful for experiences of embarrassment, guilt, shame, all the pain that goes with that. Do you know what it would be like to not have those experiences? It would mean that you did not have a conscience. I thank God that somehow or other, not having gone to Sunday school, whipping through confirmation in 1 year, because pastor wanted to get my brother and I through it, and we came from a farm family and said, well, I can do both boys together. As he spoke to my father, one a couple of years late, one a year early, and I'll get him through in 1 year. My brother also became a pastor, by the way. I'm thankful for having a conscience, knowing something of right and wrong. Without that, where would we be? For all, are the experiences of embarrassment and guilt comfortable? No. But without them, we would really be lost. We would really be lost. Oh, yes, do I know something about grief? Yeah. Most recent serious experience with grief was when I retired. 40-some years ago when I was ordained, my first name became Pastor. Nobody can spell Jeffrey with a G, or half of them can't say it if you spell it with a G. And so it was so much simpler just to be Pastor Hoy. And then I retired. And I was wondering who these people were talking to when they said, hey, Jeff, who are they talking to? There was a real sense of loss to who I was. I wasn't quite sure what my role would be. in a new place or a new community, to sit in the pew instead of being up in front. Well, once in a while I still get a chance to go do that in various places, but it's a whole different role. And so I did say some prayers. What? Okay, God, now what do you want me to do? Hopefully something useful and perhaps effective or significant. And I took on a whole new role as leader, kind of by accident, the way it happened. But I looked in the mirror about a year or so ago and I thought, gee whiz, how did this happen? You've become a political leader in this community. How did this happen? But thank God for all the prior experiences. So I have a little clue of how I might do that reasonably, effectively, civilly. Yeah. I thank God that I've been given the gift of reflection to gain perspective on my life, which of course gives me insight to others who may have similar experiences or not, and hence to have patience with those who have not and don't understand. And so I go back and I read Paul's letter. You know, thank you for reading it, Donna. And he lists all this junk that happened in his life. I said, so what else is new? I'm thankful to have a word of God, a word from God, to help me reflect upon those experiences of my life. But then the rest of that list that Paul has there too. The ministry of reconciliation as purpose. God's love coming in the midst of all those other things. Yeah. I'm a very thankful man. I'm thankful and hopeful for all God has done, even for me. So what of the future? That's why I picked that gospel lesson. I mean, look, if I've had the experience of going through this, and some of you older than I've gone through worse things and world wars and other wars and upheavals and all that kind of stuff, what of the future? Based on the life experiences I've had with God, I'm not worried. God will still be God. Remember the German pastors who preached during World War II? After the roofs had been blown off their churches, and they still gathered with their people to preach. I'm thankful to have a God like that. I'm thankful to have gotten to know a God like that in my life. And I hope that this is true for you. This really isn't a story about me. It's a story about what God can do for us to bring thankful hearts, to turn despair into hope, to wipe out cynicism. And so, yes, let's celebrate Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey or ham or hamburger from McDonald's, whatever the case may be. It's a day to give thanks. Give thanks to God. And I hope that you will have a day full of such joy and thanksgiving as I've been able to experience as well. Amen.